The fact that it is available to all should be very clear. Not only not denied to any, but is the truth of all. It's not a question of availability. You are the substance of God. And if you are willing to accept the second substance, the price you pay is obvious. And if you happen to be today 99 years old or 19, it is still the same truth. You are now not the 99 or the 19. You are now the eternal self. And this acceptance is the key. And as we must realize all the time, the acceptance is not complete until that which is not the eternal self is not honored and is not recognized as yourself. You can't take one side of the coin. Now, while you're struggling to do this, you are under guidance. You are under protection. Because the moment you struggle to find your eternal self, the Father rushes out to meet you like the prodigal son. So it's not a question of your capacity, or are you too late, and these things that run through our mind. None of that. Every time you read that prodigal son, it should give you reassurance that all you've got to do is turn from west to east or from east to west, and the Father rushes to meet you, meaning the inner Christ begins to come to the fore as your realization. Turning, as the prodigal did, is the renouncing of the mortal sense of self and rushing back to the Father, the soul, to join the elder brother, the spirit, to become one. And then the realization of the Christ. No longer a prodigal. Shall we see what John has to say to us about the Christ of our own self? I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Now, you can't go to Jesus, can you? But this is Christ saying, come unto me. And who is Christ? Yourself. Yourself is saying, come unto me, and you shall never hunger. And I think you know now some of the ways to come unto Christ. If the heart is willing, you will find many other ways to come unto Christ. And then you will not be without a comforter. And I, Christ, the comforter within, will show you all things. There's your guide, your own identity. Jesus cried and said, and we're now in chapter 12, verse 44, probably 45 and 46. He that believeth on me, and actually if you're reading your Bible from your soul level, you're saying, I know that it says Jesus said. But Jesus is just the front, the outer man. This is Christ saying, and this Christ that is saying is the Christ of my being in me, saying. Christ, my being, is saying, he that believeth on me, if you have the experience of your own Christhood, then you believe that Christ is your name. And if you believe that Christ is your name, this is saying to you that if you believe that, that Christ is your name, your life, your substance, your reality, your now self, your eternal divine never born being now, and that you have no other. This is what Christ is saying. He that believeth on me, that's a total belief. It's not a divided belief. He that believeth on me believeth not on me, but believeth on him that sent me. Do you see a great revelation in those words? The human race thinks that it believes in God. But if the human race does not accept Christ, how can it believe in God when only Christ believes in God? And if you believe in God but do not believe that God is the nature of your being, you only think you believe in God. You see, it's being revealed there that man walks without God until he believes that his identity is Christ. Think of the thousands and millions who are in a state of self-delusion, thinking they really believe in God, but do not believe that they are the Christ of God. And therefore, because only the Christ has the capacity to know God, how can the human who doesn't believe that he is the Christ and has not made the commitment to being the Christ, but still shrinks from the mortal consciousness, the mortal body, the mortal sense of value, the terminated lifespan, the terminable lifespan, the body that bears all these affronts to God, these insults that say God created this, or God permits this, or God is watching this and doing nothing about it. How can all of these types of human consciousness believe in God? They only think they do. And the results show it. The limitations of their belief are what return to their lives. And even in perfect human goodness, as perfect as human goodness can be, unless there is the acceptance of Christ's identity in a committed way, we are told in this phrase, subtly, that if you believe on me, you do not believe on me. You believe on the Father. And I suspect he's going to amplify this to show us that if you don't believe that you are the Christ, you do not believe in the Father at all. As a matter of fact, you can remember many phrases like, if he who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father, he who does not have the Son does not have the Father. If we do not have Christ as our identity, we do not have God as our Father. For the only Son of God is Christ. Something in us then should be stopping the world mind as it comes to us with its many suggestions that we are, after all, flesh and blood born of woman. That we are, after all, not going to live forever. That we can't expect joy without sorrow. That we must remember that there are limitations, that there are things that you cannot control, that you do not really have dominion. That if it rains tomorrow or there's a flood, you can be hurt. That if there's a disease coming your way in a community, you can be inflicted. We have inherited 5 million beliefs. And that is because he that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father. And we could sit here for 1 million years saying, I believe in Jesus, and we are not honoring the Son. We must honor the Christ of Jesus. And we honor the Christ of Jesus by honoring the Christ of ourselves. For I go away, if I go not away, if Jesus goes not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. And that Comforter, that new Comforter, is the very Christ that is the identity of Jesus and the identity of Paul. Even the identity of Judas is the invisible Christ. For there is but one infinite identity, and all the mortal forms that have passed into oblivion never were here as the self, but as the images that tested the development of your soul in its onward progression toward the infinite heaven of reality. We are passing the test. We are accepting divinity. We are accepting the Christ of God. And once we do, we breathe a sigh of relief, because not to have accepted the Christ of God is the same as suicide. And all that energy that must renew and begin its journey once more in the land of nothingness, in the dream world. Now, we can be grateful for this glorious expression called the world. If we are awake to truth, then our soul is benefiting immensely as it conscientiously behind the scene transforms all that it beholds and fills divine substance into all these earthly vessels. If you're living now from that level, you can move easily into Christ acceptance across the board throughout eternity. So that Christ acceptance is not a momentary pledge or a promise to yourself or something you write in a book that you're going to do again and again. It's an inner transmutation of consciousness, and you never return to the old. We are honoring the Son by being the Son. There's no other way to honor Christ except to be. And those who are trying to become are refusing what they are. Those who are trying to become are saying, I am not. The mind has all these subtle hedges in which it refuses to be, and always puts into tomorrow what it refuses to do today, into that mythical tomorrow. And he that seeth me seeth him that sent me. Another fabulous revelation. Seeth me, seeth him. When you accept Christ, you're seeing me. The moment you accept Christ, you're seeing me, and as you see me, you see him. Only in Christ are you face to face with the Father. Only in Christ. And when you see the Father, you're not looking out of human eyes. Seeing is receiving the full flow of divinity. When God flows through your Christhood, which it is always doing, and you are conscious of being that Christ, you are then experiencing the full flow of divinity, and that experiencing is called seeing him. He that seeth me, he that accepteth himself to be the Christ, is now one with the Father, because the false dual consciousness is no more. Now what's stopping you then from totally receiving the fullness of Christ, except a false human brain which refuses to acknowledge only the existence of Christ as your identity? Sit with it. Rest with it. Abide with it. And then realize your human brain has absolutely no power except the power that you give it. It is completely without power for a very simple reason. It is as transient as your mortal self. It is made of transient substance. It is an imitation of your soul. It truly is an imitation of your soul. And when you are aware of what it is, and can stand ye fast above that little Charlie McCarthy that likes to run our lives, you will discover that it does have no power. It is a robot. It's taking all of its words from the world mind. It's masquerading as your mind. It isn't. It's the mind of your transient identity. And it established the transient identity. In a sense, it even fooled itself. You can actually feel the fabrication as a false entity, and when you are aware of it, you almost want to burst out laughing, and then you stand in the stillness, and that mind sputters all it wants to. No matter what it says, it falls on deaf ears, because in Christ, you are immune to the world mind. You are immune to world hypnotism. You are immune to every belief in death, in disease, and sin. In your Christ mind, you see the Father. You see the kingdom. You live in the universe that is real. He that seeth me seeth the Father. He that seeth me not seeth the world. This is an explanation of the interior action of your being. Your Christ self is always at one with the Father, always expressing the Father, always alive with the Father, always in the fullness of the Father, always in oneness without opposites with the Father, always in joy, always in love, always in beauty, always in harmony, always in grace. Always. This is the natural state of your being. And you can see why, in the outer sense of life, we have a taste of that and a taste of the opposites. Because not having the fullness of it, that degree of fullness that we don't have becomes the negatives of our world. That which we do not experience in the fullness of our being is then converted into negatives. And where only joy is in truth, When we have an imitation of joy, we then have the balance of that imitation turns into sorrow. All the negatives are born of the lack of fullness which is possible only in Christ consciousness. When you know you are Christ, you are in Christ consciousness. But this isn't being Christed. This is only Christ consciousness. Being Christed is still a little bit away. It's going to take all this and more. More commitment, more dedication, more conviction, more willingness to trust your conviction for the real anointing. This is the path to the anointing. How long is the path? You determine that. The anointing can be in the next second. It can be in the next 10 years. It should come rather quickly if we are faithful to living in Christhood and out of Christhood and learning the capacities of Christhood, the qualities of Christhood, the functions of Christhood, and letting those functions and capacities and attributes be the only qualities that we permit to operate to express into the visible universe around us. We have that capacity. Our soul has that capacity to police our universe and to funnel only Christ awareness into our daily experience. Now, as you reach higher above soul to Christ with your soul, I, the bread of life that you are acknowledging as your identity, I will feed your soul because your soul is my soul. And I am feeding your soul. I need only your recognition. I need your acknowledgement. Not part-time, or not scattered, or not intermittent. Acknowledge me in all thy ways. Be yourself always. Are you listening to yourself? There's no one talking out here. Be yourself always. He that is himself always hath the Father. That's a divine statement. It's not some human authority trying to convince you of anything. It's the Father saying it to the self of you. Let it sink in that it's true. And so if we could spread the oneness out into a prism of light, we could see that this oneness, this self that you're accepting, is a universal being. He that accepteth himself to be Spirit without division, Spirit without discord, Spirit without pain. And then you'll see that pain is a trick of the mind, discord is a trick of the mind, all outer disturbances are tricks of the mind, all preventing you or tempting you not to accept that you are that self which is eternal, which is spirit, which is indestructible, which is painless, ageless, and deathless now. He that believeth on me believeth on him that sent me. You're accepting a perfect God when you accept a perfect you. When you accept an imperfect you, you're accepting an imperfect God, an imperfect creator, an imperfect source, and you are asleep. Awake to who you are and stay awake. And you will see the Father face to face eternally. This is divine fact, divine truth, not phrased by a person. He that seeth me, the Christ, seeth the Father. If you are feeling a degree of your own true being, you will recognize the authenticity of it if you feel also that there is only one being here. That the being you feel you are is the only being here. Unless you feel this, you are not really feeling your being. For in the truth of being, we do not feel a separate self. There's no way to feel that in the truth of being. All the little notes become the one resonant chord. All the individual cells become one invisible self. And when you feel that, you are in a measure of Christhood experienced. And it doesn't stop at any place in space or time. It doesn't know distance. It encompasses the universe of God, the kingdom. When you feel a measure of that, you'll know you are receiving divine instruction. And through that, more divine instruction will flow from within. I am come. Not I will come. I am come. A light unto the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And so if the sun were to leave the sky, and the moon were to leave the sky, and the stars will fall from the heavens, I am come that whoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. I am the light. Christ's identity is the infinite eternal light. And if you think the light of the sun giving warmth and heat and energy is something, you will discover they are imitations of Christ, the light of your being. Literally, imitations of Christ, the light of your being. That sun in the sky has no power to give you infinite life or eternal life. Those stars have no power to give you eternal harmony or eternal peace. Christ in you had to exist before there could even be a sun and a moon and a star and a universe and a planet and an earth. The imitations of Christ are all around us, in the sky, on the land, and in the sea. All we see are imitations of Christ everywhere. And Christ you are. If you believe on this, you and the Father are all that exist. And you can look out at this world of effects knowing it is imitating your being. This little form you call you is one of the imitations. There are many millions more. You are the self, not that which withereth. We are not accepting Christhood until we accept that I have all. I lack nothing. Right now. I want you to take all your lacks, all your pains, all your problems, all your limitations, and expose them to your being. Hold them up to the light of Christ. That Christ is not just the center. There's no place where it isn't. If you fly to Afghanistan, Christ is there waiting for your body to arrive. If you're in the deepest realms of Siberia, or the jungle, or on another planet, or underneath the ocean, Christ is waiting there. And the ocean, the planet, Siberia, Afghanistan, all these are imitations of Christ in the world mind. But only I, Christ, is there. And this is the consciousness you will have. And this is the consciousness you will prove is the power over this world and its effects. And the power over this body and its effects. And then Christ will show you how to lay down this body when you must. And Christ will show you the body you can live in forever. Don't expect to do it by happenstance or by good clean living or by honesty or by doing good or by all the ways we try to use as substitutes for the one thing we must do and accept the divine light of being as myself. Christ will show you how to place this mortal body in its proper place. Christ will show you how to walk in immortality now. Christ will show you how to step over beautifully, painlessly, and consciously without an interruption in consciousness. Yes, I, Christ in you, know all things and show you all things. For I go unto the Father. Follow me. Follow me unto the Father. Follow me in the regeneration from mortality to immortality while appearing on the earth. Follow me into the divine transition, for I am the way. I am the life. I am the truth. I am the bread. I am the wine. I am the water. I am the invisible universe. He who knoweth me knoweth my Father. Our next step is divine manifestation, which flows out of Christhood. And you are to be a witness to divine manifestation on this earth. We have joined in this class through divine will, as a divine service, as a divine expression, as a divine example. And though we come from assorted backgrounds humanly in many ways, we all come from one source. And all else is a concept. And returning to that one source is the only activity permissible unto each of us according to the will of God. Come unto me. Return to source. Not tomorrow, there is none. In the now. In this eternal now. Return to source. Live from that center and watch every biblical promise happen in your life. They said it would be noisy outside. It isn't. They said there would be a hullabaloo because everybody's having a great celebration, but there's no hullabaloo. All there is divine silence. And we are that living silence. I suppose it's permissible on Easter Sunday to say, this is a class of love. I don't want to seem sentimental or maudlin, but that's how it feels. A class of love brought here by divine love. Expressing divine love and sending us out to express that divine love through our illuminated consciousness. If you can hear what I'm saying and I can hear your response, I think we're beginning to know what we're doing together. Have a divine Easter Sunday. Thank you. By the way, we will, after consideration about a request that we delay the class tonight for a half hour. I've checked it out with various people and I find it would not work out too well. And so we'll meet at 7:30 for the meditation and 8 for the class. And the individual who asked me about that, I'd like to speak to him after the class if I may. We'll see you later tonight.